And I want to tell you right now, starting this Wednesday, we're going to dive into a series within the series of Believe called The Blessed Life. I gave a little tidbit of it a few weeks ago, and it was probably in the top five responses, a positive response in the last decade and a half since I've been here, of mail and emails and phone calls about, my God, these principles, that what we saw today on that blessed life was incredible. And you know, I've been letting it incubate in my heart and going through this summer. This Wednesday, most people should be back from vacation that are away. We're getting ready. We're getting ready for the greatest harvest time, the most exciting time. I believe, forgive me, it's a spiritual time of romancing now through the end of the year as we make way for the city, as we prepare for this county, a place, not only a place of refuge, not only a hiding place, but a place, a watering hole, a place where there's manna, a place where there's provision, a place of safety. On my desk today, I signed a letter again, I think for the 10th year, to DeLand High School, that in the event there's a lockdown at DeLand High School, all the parents, all the guardians come to First Assembly to get instructions, to get peace, to know that they'll get news first through us about their sons or daughters. God, listen, hasn't raised His church to be a place of entertainment. That's why some people have left. This is a place that's strengthening you for these last days. You know, the Bible says that men's hearts will fail them for what they see in the last days. That's already happened. But you know, it hasn't happened to those that have remained, those that have been strong. God has raised this church up as a special forces church, and that we believe that the generation of the righteous could be strong and occupy the land. It was no surprise that last week we heard that word, that something that I shared about 2 months ago. Remember in 2008, when I shared the term ask as our theme, it came the last month of 2007. On my birthday last year in August, the Lord gave me the theme for this year, Believe, which we're in. And He didn't waste any time this for next year. It is Occupy. It is Occupy. Next year, as we start January 2010, it's going to be living a life of occupation, occupying. He said, occupy until I return with all rights, privileges, and benefits. We're not looking for the Antichrist. We're looking for Jesus Christ. We're not looking for disease and poverty. We're looking to ride what God is doing and rescue people and pray for people and establish them in the Word so they know how to strengthen themselves and start doing a work of restoration. I pray, unless you're working, unless God forbid you're sick, very sick. You know, if you're sick, you ought to come to church, could pray for anyway. But you will start changing and making some new habits. Listen, some renewed good habits. Again, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, outreaches. That was the way it was for 3.5 years. It seems like sometimes the more time and rest we get, the tireder we are, the less fruit we're developing in our life, the less salt we are and light to our society. And I want to appeal to you that you be here. You drop your young people off, those that are in the spot, and get back here. And we have the other ministries of rangers and missionettes and nursery, everything. There's even an incredible meal that's cheaper than McDonald's, and it's a full course meal, soup to nuts and dessert and bread and everything else every Wednesday night from 5:30 to 6:30. I'm going to beg you, get away from the television. Get away from just sitting, and prioritize to be here, because we're going to go on an adventure of the blessed life. Some of the things that we're going to be covering is, it's all about the heart. The same man, Solomon, who penned this text, or key verse, gave a warning, and it came from his daddy, David, to guard your heart, because out of it flow the plural issues of life. You cannot afford, man, to walk around in self-pity and give up. I don't care how tough it is. Get yourself up in the morning and say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it, and I'm going to bless my wife. I'm going to bless my children. If you don't guard your heart, ladies, You're going to put unrealistic expectation on your husband, and then your affections are going to go elsewhere. They're going to get nostalgic. Oh, if I was just with my old friends, if I was just with my relatives, if I was just back up north, if I was just here, and then the enemy's going to come in and destroy you. We have to guard our heart from wrong thinking to right thinking. The Bible says, as a man or a woman thinks in her heart, so is he. So if you think that you're down and out, if you think that you're sad, you're going to walk around in self-pity and sadness, and then heaviness, despair, and depression. As we think in our heart, we become. As a man or a woman thinks in his heart, so is he. We set in motion by our thought patterns. We set in motion by listening to wrong reports of other people, either people that are going to be negative or people that are going to act like there's a pot of spiritual rainbow on the other side of that rainbow by just getting away and going somewhere else, or just isolating yourself, or just running here, there, out west, up north, down here, looking. When God says, listen, I want you to believe me. I'll show you things you've never seen before. I'll teach you things you've never learned. I'll put my blessing upon your life. We have to guard our heart. If you don't guard your heart, you'll do a series of religious things and be out of the will of God, and you'll think it's God's will. Not only are we going to learn about the heart, but what test? What kind of test are we in? Listen, let me tell you, we live a life. Those of us who have been out of college and been in school for years, let me tell you, you're never done. Listen, we're never finished. You're either going into a test, being tested, or coming out of a test. And that never stops. And we're going to say, what does it mean? What does it mean when these things happen? Jesus said, listen, in this world you will have tribulation. But thank God it was a comma instead of a period. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. We're seated together in heavenly places with Christ. If we don't keep our head down, if we don't isolate, if we don't look constantly at the worst or the unfinished business in our spouses, in our children, and even in our life. Not only are we going to cover that, but the six-week series, six Wednesday nights, who's on first? Who's on first? You know, that was the first message that I preached here in the little building. Who's on first? In other words, who do we have here in a small group of people? That's not what we're dealing with here. But who's on first? Some of you are showing your age by the comedians, okay? I said that. Abbott and Costello. Who's on first? Who belongs there? What does it mean? Breaking the spirit of materialism. Breaking the spirit. God wants you to prosper, but he wants it to start from the inside out. And he wants you to be able to handle the prosperity. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, but God adds no sorrow to it. It's not like the world adds sorrow to it. Incredible strings of compounding interest, debt, favors that now have to be paid and owed. The borrower slave to the lender. All kind of things, not just in a venue of finances. And then we'll go on from there on Wednesday nights to not only breaking the spirit of mammon and materialism, but coming to a place in our life. Am I generous? Do I have a generous spirit? Why should God trust me with more wisdom, with more wealth, both spiritually and financially? How do we get balance on that in the scripture? How do we handle blessing so it doesn't get to our head or deceive our heart? And then the principle of multiplication. Jesus said in Luke 16, to be faithful in that which is little, he'll make you ruler over much. In the beginning, on the first day, on the day of Pentecost, when the church was birthed 2 years ago, it went from an addition to a multiplication factor. He added to the church daily as such would be saved. And then within a few chapters, as this movement started going against all odds, against world, the Roman Empire was expanding an incredible boom. But in captivity, if you were in captivity to the Roman Empire, like in the Mideast, it was depression. How did they prosper with all odds against them? They went from an additional-minded people, a mind that if I just have one more, or this, or a little addition, they went from that to a multiplication factor in all things, spiritually, an expansion, everything. What does that mean to us in the 21st century? We're going to learn. But the problem is we cannot have the right believing with the wrong thinking. My kids get real mad at some of my one-liners. Those times I've gone up to my boys, not my girls, but my boys, I said, listen, don't be a stinker, be a thinker. Oh, Dad! But we cannot have right believing with the wrong thinking. Thus, we are starting an adventure this Wednesday night. Let's recapture a good habit. If you think in these last days you could go through this world with a little dabble do you on Sunday morning and not having fellowship and not growing together, encouraging one another, and try to stand against what's on television, the bad news, the fear, the evil, the temptation, you're wrong. Let's develop and let's renew a good habit. Starting Wednesday night, God's going to show you something. When he said to the first century that he's going to give his people the keys of the kingdom, it wasn't just for them. It's for now. So, what do we do to inherit this blessing? I'm glad you asked. Okay, if you're taking notes, number one, we got to believe when others don't believe. And you see, that's what the church should be doing. See, the church is split up in two camps. The church is so codependent and changed to the world system that it's become like the world. When Jesus says, come out from among them and be separate. Not to act better then, but so we could connect with God who sees above all things. God, every king, every kingdom, even in the age of free will, he has an ability to touch hearts. The hearts of the kings are in the hand of the Lord, and he moves them as a water course. The church in this day has to believe differently. When we converged upon that park, like we've been doing 6-7 times a year since January of 1993, when we had less wealth, less people, less building, less assets, less stuff, and saw God show up, the same thing happened yesterday. Some of you robbed yourself yesterday from seeing people of every culture, people poor, people hurting, and see smile come on their face and see what happens when our people that were loving on people, serving them. Listen, we have messed up service and authority. We rather have authority than godly influence. Listen, those that want greatness in a marketplace, serve your way up. Jesus said, those that will be great among you, be servant of all. You saw people in hopeless situations. And when that spirit broke in the heavenlies, somewhere along the line, it happens all the time. And we had some of our police there, you know, doing, you know, really attentive. You know, I remember one time doing Project Light, just sharing the love of Jesus, and some guy a little bit under the influence, you know, street guy, come up and say, hey, I want to say something on a microphone. I said, thank you, man. I said, we only have 2 hours, and I don't want you to miss the good news. Go get some clothes over there, some groceries. And he's getting mad. And you heard the story before, been around here a while. Bob's wife, Eleanor, and my wife were ministering to a couple prostitutes in the back of the park, and my wife told Rod, my husband's going to get punched in the face. She said, what? She says, watch. The guy came back, pow! He got mad. You know, and I just went, oh, shoo. You know, it was like a little feather. God had protected me. And it never happened since. But I'm going to tell you something. When you see people that are hard, that are hurting, that are just willing to take help for any way it comes, and you see God arrive through your life, you recognize that you have something that nothing, no agency, no king, no kingdom has to offer. And one of the greatest things when you're tempted to give up on your life, your family, your church, your school, your nation, your spouse, is pour yourself into broken people and refuse to hear a bad report. And how Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the enemy, for God was with him. You want God with you? Go into the highways and byways. Go to where you work. Go to where you go to school. And just have a smile on your face, knowing that God is with you. See what happens. You start whistling when you never whistled before. I don't really know how to whistle. Watch. That's about the only, I only that one little, that's all I know. I don't really know how to whistle. And you have a song in your heart. And the church better come out from the world and think different. We're not entertainment minded, but you have a message and you have love that will bring greater entertainment than sitting down and having the best, what we call the best message, the best mess, the best singer, the best leader, or this or that, and all the whatever. We have to believe when others don't. We're living in a state right now where people are not believing in anything. They don't want to believe in anything anymore. And once you stop believing, you lose your hope. And Solomon, who also penned this text, said, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And that's why there's so much addictions, so much suicide in our area. You can't afford to lose your hope. It'll give you heart trouble. And then you'll see everything wrong in your spouse, everything wrong in your life. You'll see everything wrong in your church. And you could go from spouse to spouse to spouse to spouse. You could go from church to church to church to church. And you know what? You'll hate yourself inside. Instead of being part of building a kingdom, you'll brag how you are fascinated with a superstar Christian or what somebody else has already done, and you arrive on the scene. God's brought you here, kept others here to be the light and the salt in the city, in this area, in this county. And your children and your friends and your critics are watching closely. Will you believe when others don't? John chapter 12, verse 36 and 37. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become the sons of light. Jesus is speaking. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. You know, I sense that the body of Christ, and possibly some of us that have been part of this camp for a while, are where they were when Jesus had to deal with them. The enemy is so quick to forget why we fell in love with our spouse, why we are part of the church, what brought us together, what brought us here, what brought us to this state, and then all of a sudden we're able to forget it all. And even though they saw Jesus raise the dead, give hope to the hopeless, take a motley crew of 12 people, and there was only two educated, the IRS agent and Dr. Luke, and he made something out of them. Show you that verse 37 up there also. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. There comes a place in our life, if we stop believing for ourselves in what he has done and what he is doing, before you know it, if you submit to that spirit, whether it comes from a child, a son or daughter, saying, oh, you know, God's doing some new things, or you got to do here, or there's an opportunity here, or whatever. We stop believing in the essentials that brought us to faith in Christ, or brought us to renewal, or brought us to the greatest opportunity to our life. They stopped believing in him. They're walking with him. He protected them for 3.5 years until he was crucified for them. They were safe. They were fed. They were given, of course, perfect doctrine. They were used mightily. They got to be part of the miracles. They saw the miracles. And we're so gospel rich in this country that we're becoming what we should not become if we're not careful. In Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to them to believe. God has everybody on the same gridiron. Everyone. Everyone. He's no respecter of persons. In the midst of impossibilities, in the midst of an impossible economy, a very competitive job market, whatever it is, Stetson just went up to $41,900 a year. That's only $2,000 less than Princeton. How can a person do it? And if we don't say, God, how do you do it? And what must I do? We'll start believing like the world. You have no choice but to believe when others don't. And I appeal to you. We're not doing this for a cute theme. We're going into the eighth month of this. And I've never sensed spiritual warfare. I've never seen such faithful, godly people get spiritually brain damaged, if you would. And that's why I told everybody at our undergraduate school in Lakeland, I said, you know, before you should have the privilege to preach or sing and have a position, you need to get smacked around in the military for about 6 months or be a self-employed business person for a while. Believe when others don't. God's called you to be a coach in a team that's scattered, that doesn't want to play by the rules. God's calling you to be a teacher when people refuse to learn lessons after going through around that mountain over and over again, over and over again. Ever learning, never coming to an understand. God wants you to be a shepherd. Me, a pastor? Yes, every one of you. You're a shepherd in your home. You're a shepherd in your neighborhood. You're a shepherd on that job spot. When Jesus done the miracles and was wore out in his crusades, he crossed over the Lake Genesaret, and then he saw multitudes. Well, oh, I don't believe it. What do they want from me now? Another service? I need rest. But it hit me yesterday when I saw those multitudes. We never got to advertisement or marketing out. Thank God we didn't. We had hundreds and hundreds of people. We came to a place where everybody registered. The school supplies were all called for. And we said, listen, we had to say something. First come, first serve. If you have your registration form, don't worry about it. Have a hot dog. Come up for prayer. Get some cotton candy. Get some ice. Jump on a moonwalker, whopper, hopper, whatever it's called. You're all right. But then the people start praying, the workers. And it was like the fish in the loaves again. I was able to make an announcement. There's more. There's more. Come. And it reminded me as I saw that wall of people again. Joel's prophecy. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. And it reminded me of Jesus when he crossed the lake. Instead of getting rest, he said, and he saw the multitudes, and he was moved with compassion. I'll give you the antidote for depression, where a lack of love luster in your marriage. What's that all about? Where you want to have a midlife crisis and be a teenager instead of staying committed to your teenager? What's that all about? I like to borrow from John F. Kennedy what he said. I remember hearing it as a little boy. It made so much sense. It stirred my heart. Ask not. Anybody over 50 should remember this. Ask not what your country could do for you, but what you could do for your country. That's a biblical principle. Those between two churches that I've had an opportunity for 28 years to minister to has heard and seen how God has miraculously provided in every and even prophesied advance disasters, economic dips, and that's not enough for some people. They'd rather be entertained. Preparing us for this dip. If you were here for a while, you heard it 3 years ago. 10 years ago, you start hearing the term synthetic economy. Get prepared. When I was in the American Institute of Banking, before I got my first assignment at New Jersey National Bank, we were taught the rules of and the laws of the 78s. And just like compound interest could put you in a nightmare over your head, compound interest going in your favor can do the same. And so is it when God takes you from addition to multiplication. I'm running out of time. Number two, to believe like Jesus, believe like him and break the religious mold. Believe like Jesus and break the religious mold. You are kings and priests. Live like it. You are the sons of God, sons and daughters of God, according to God's word. Live like it. The religious mold of this age wants to ring kissed, want all kind of titles, and Jesus threw down the title, took the towel, and washed his people's feet. This past Thursday, we had a pastor's luncheon. That also started. I started for the pastor in January 1993, when we didn't have the budget for it as a little church. But I wanted the pastors of all the denominations to stop just cursing each other and acting spiritually proud because some had the Holy Spirit, some had gifts of this and that, because it's a stench before God, because it's all his. And we had one denomination refuse to come near us, never come, even though there was probably about 14 denominations. And that pastor, a new pastor came in that denomination. We became best friends, good friends. And he brought all these people from another nation, Papua New Guinea. He saw the purse that they gave our church. And as we stand around, I end the meeting where you have to bless the person to the next and bless his ministry. That's how we end every week, every month. And when he got to him yesterday, this a reserved, traditionally reserved denomination, this pastor wept. He said, I've dreamed my whole life of having fellowship like this and not be alone in my church. And he says, and it makes me feel embarrassed. He goes, but I never saw what I saw last month. And he pointed to me and he says, when I brought those men from Papua New Guinea, those tribal native pastors, he says, and this is the Holy Spirit, no big deal. Just obeying the Holy Spirit, had me get on my hands and knees and put my hands on their feet and pray for them. He said, I've been destroyed ever since. I didn't think it was any big deal. Just Holy Spirit says, just get down. These people, blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. They came all the way from off the islands of Australia. And he said, you don't know what happened. He goes, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. He goes, there was one man I begged to come. He didn't felt worthy. He's a wealthy hospital administrator. He's the only one. He was in the marketplace. The only one that's not a pastor. He came. He didn't want to come. And he was struggling even with the trip. He said, this man's life was completely changed, tore upside down. He is on fire. He is completely changed for what happened and what he saw and what was done to his feet and how you people received them. I'm getting reports almost on a very often basis since they got back that one man, this marketplace man, this powerful man, completely changed. Believe like Jesus and break the religious mold, and your Christianity will be incredible. It's not about receiving. Husbands and wives, it's not the one who gets the love. It's about the lover. It's giving the love. Well, my wife and I counsel, premarital counseling, will say, listen, a husband desires to be respected, a wife desires to be cherished. God forbid if you make each other earn that. And God forbid as we as Christians think we're anything special, for by the grace of God, will we be? We've come to the conclusion, and we have our pulse on what's happening in 220 nations. We're connected with people that some of the people in Central Florida think some of the people are going to that are platform-oriented or special, nothing. And right now we're believing that those that are going to survive and not have their hearts fail them and not have their marriages destroyed and their families destroyed and become blessed in this life, in this age, are those that are going to have to learn how to grow up and serve and love not their life unto death. You're acting. You know, you're preparing us. We're coming out of this economic thing. We're prospering like you said we would. Listen, you're either in trouble or coming out of trouble. But God doesn't want you to think that now that He's strengthening you through this, so you get fat and lazy, critical spirit, tongue lashing against each other. So the world says, see, we're going to stand and give an account for our conduct before God. Break the religious mold. Love one another. Jesus said, love one another even as I have loved you. John chapter 13. He's teaching this principle. His religious critics are around him. The 12 are still trying to find out, what's he all about? Would you believe we left everything? Left our fishing business, Pete and Andrew's and Luke's Fishing Inc. Jesus said, you call me teacher and Lord. You're right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant's not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. How come some people learn about the principles of blessing, but never get into out of neutral into being blessed? I believe this is it. If you know these things, blessed are you. Not if you know them. Look how the sentence reads. If you do them. Does that mean turn the other cheek? Yeah. That means keeping your hands to the plow when people take their hands off of it? Yeah. Jesus said, any man, any person that has his hand to the plow in that family, in that marriage, in that synagogue, in that church, in that mission, and takes his hands off the plow is not worthy of the kingdom. May I submit to you, I didn't come this far in life, and I hate to admit it, but I guess from math, the best of my part of my life is over. On this side of heaven, to lose it because I want to save it. Jesus said, those that will worry about saving their life will lose it. But those that will give their life shall save it. Verse 17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I'm not speaking of all of you. I know whom I've chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread and has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. I have been warning and sharing the scriptures to the best of my ability over the years and networking you with around the world, in the city and to the nations, and just to, so that you could handle these things. And you know what? Most of you are. But there's a lot of weak and young Christians. There's a lot of people that are not yet believing. And Jesus is doing the same thing with the people. He's trying to prepare them so they don't have heart trouble, so they don't pull their swords on the world and try to fight Rome with the flesh. And so certainly they don't pour their swords on each other. A wise woman builds her house. A foolish one breaks it down. And let me say, also a man, a wise man. He said, listen, I'm telling you the truth. Something's about to happen. We're in a synthetic economy. Wind down. Tighten up. During the time of synthetic boom, prosper not to hoard, not to waste, but to get ready so that you could give to those that don't and so that you could be a living testimony that God takes care of his children. Learn how to trust God for the car, for the family, for the marriage, for the future. So that when things take place, you may believe that I'm He, and not run, not panic, and surely not die. Any amens this morning? It's kind of lonely. I look like I'm looking at a picture.
I'll go to Happy Church tonight. Happy, happy, flappy Jackie. Sing me a song. It's like the Babylonians said. Sing me a great song.
They told Jeremiah, prophesy something good. He goes, okay, I'll prophesy something good. Then the king said, oh, that's not right. You know it's not right. Tell us the truth. And we're going to hate it.
Mark 10:44, Jesus reminds him again in another setting, those that will be great among you be servant of all.
Number three, start believing that what you're doing is going to bring you an even greater inheritance. An even greater inheritance. Even if you don't see it, if you've seen it in a few people, God's no respecter of persons, appropriate it. Remove the weeds that's against it. Don't get jealous or competitive against it or against others, but thank God that He's faithful. Believe also for a greater inheritance. The main thing is the main thing, and this is, I'm sorry, folks. I've done too many funerals. I did two this past week. I don't want to settle 70, 80 years. You know, when I was about 18 or 21, 70 or 80 years, that's good. It's a good life.
And then all of a sudden, I'm getting older. You go, oh, well, wait, I don't know if I,
you know, how many people say, oh, yeah, when I'm 80, I'm going to be done. And all of a sudden, you start getting closer to 80. You go, oh, no, I don't know if I really want to go. If I could be healthy and, you know, I've seen 90-year-old people act like 60. That's me. I want that.
Amen.
but life, even at 104, is a vapor. Let's not lose the main thing. I never thought I'd say these words.
One day you'll be older too.
Believe also for greater inheritance. John 14:1-6. And I just one of the funerals a few weeks ago, I read it. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Jesus writing this. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Listen, in my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms. If it were not so, I have not told you. And I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I'll take you to be with me. And where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Now there was one man there called Doubting Thomas, Didymus. Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you're going. So how could we know the way? Hey, don't judge Thomas. I would probably ask the same question. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Believe also for a greater inheritance. Number four. I'll go with this watch. Number four, believe that we can be His answered prayer. Could you imagine that you're God's answered prayer? And you are. You are. Let me tell you the difference between the American military and the Soviet military. The Soviet military had their rank and file constantly mesmerized with their leader. The American military did something else. When your first lieutenant, when your captain steps on a mine, you listen and know that your first lieutenant will know what to do. If your first lieutenant or second lieutenant gets taken out, that buck sergeant will take you through. If the sergeant gets taken out, follow the corporal he'll know what to do. And if the corporal's taken out, that PFC knows what to do. And God is saying in these days, listen, believe me. Believe that I believe in you, and that you could be the one who stands when everything and everyone else shakes, rattles, and rolls. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends, because a servant doesn't know the secrets of his master, but I tell my secrets to my friends. He wants you to be his answered prayer. The same spirit to raise Jesus from the dead is available to you if you just believe. The reason why we don't believe is that we can't see it in other people. Thus, with that critical spirit, it's hard for us to believe it when we need it in our own lives. John 17, 20, 21, I do not ask for these only. Jesus is having intercession with his Father, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, and I are one, and I in you, and you in me, that they also may be in us. Listen, that the world also may believe that I'm sent from you. Why doesn't the world take us serious? Because they see us church hopping. They see us easily offended. They see us undisciplined soldiers, undisciplined athletes. I could hear a football team, a weightlifting team, and I could see it's not going to be much better unless they have a good coach like Coach Mack. You leave people to themselves. You leave your children to themselves. There's only certain levels that they could get to. But until you instill to them that they're part of the pack, they're part of the family, that they're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, they've been trained up together, that they're together. Listen, at the end of this month in August, every male here, you don't have to have even a son, you're a father. Every man is a father, and every son, whether his father is alive or goes to the church or not, there's going to be a father and son camping trip. See one of the ranger commanders. I still go if I can. It's my birthday weekend. I don't know if my wife's going to capture me that Friday and Saturday, but I plan to go. I remember a few years ago, one of the cops gave my wife handcuffs, and she handcuffed me and covered my eyes and took me to a nice place. Now we have like 12 cops here. What are they going to do then? I don't know. They forgot to cover the key. The first day it was lost. No. I'm running out of time. Number five, we're closing. Believe his words. That promise, the blessed for Learf, the Learf, the best life. Glad I got it. They got it right there, L-I-F-R. Believe his words. Give me a pen. Here we go. That's what I say. Believe his words that the promise, that believe his words that promise the best life yet. That's why I don't, unless you're working, unless you got 112 fever, then you better be come here anyway, or to ER. You need to be here starting this Wednesday night. Listen, we've navigated through the worst recession since the Great Depression, and we, against all odds, it's amazing, those that have been linked to this body, and God's no respecter of persons, but you know, it's just safety, and we've seen to be coming out of it, whether the world says we're out of it or not. God doesn't put more on us than what we can handle, and even with the pressure, 1 Corinthians 10:13 makes a way of escape. He always makes a way of escape. David said, I was young, now I'm older, never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed. His kids begging for bread. But the thief is a stinker. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. John 20:30-31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Listen, and that by believing, the state of believing, even when other people stop believing, even when you're tempted to stop believing, and that by continuing to believe, not just starting to believe, but that by believing, you may have life. Life, listen, life is better than the grave. Paul said, and I said it by the casket the other day, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? But praise be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. And sometimes I'll smack that old casket. It all depends on what kind of relationship I have with the people. I say, this ain't your daddy. This is just a house he wore out good. He's whistling Dixie in heaven, streets of gold. Well, maybe. But he's having a good old time. He's waiting for us. That by believing, you may have life in his name. His name is his nature. The joy of the Lord is our strength. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. Even if you mess up, he's an advocate to his own people. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If you feel empty, wait and tarry, and he'll fill you with the Holy Spirit again and again and again so that you'll be his witnesses. Stand up with me. Blessed, Psalms 1, 1 through 3, is the man who walks not in the counsel, the bad news, the evil report, the negativity of this world, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, the promises of God. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Not the front page, not the bad news, not the argumentation of the left and the right, the Democrat and Republican. Man, how could you bathe yourself in that icky water? Blessed is the man who walks not in that counsel of the ungodly, stands in the way of sinners, sits in the seat of the scornful, but in his delight is in the promises of God. In his law, he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He shall bring forth his fruit in due season. His leaf will not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. What a promise. Whatsoever. Whatever you put your hands to, do it. Not a half heart. Not once a week. Whatever you put your hands to, you'll prosper. Why? It goes back to 800 years before that promise. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord maketh one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Father, we just bless you today. I know many of you came forward before for whatever reason it was, some spiritual, some intellectual, some physical. But if you're here today and you're not where you should be, you haven't been where you should be spiritual, your heart's going elsewhere. I'm not talking about away from this church. I believe that's an evidence of it, but I'm talking about just away from believing God. Or maybe you've never believed this way before, had a chance to totally believe. Why not now? Why not now? I'm going to meet with you in room 102, answer any questions you have, to pray for the sick. And you know, when we get in the next service, be patient with us. In a few months, we get in a new building. We're going to have all the time in the world, man. It's going to be way. We're going to have like a 45-minute buffer between the services. This kills me as a Pentecostal does. But you know, God's a finisher. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, or if you're away, if you've been disconnected, I know this might seem a little intimidating, but it's not. Come back. Strengthen those things which remain. I want to pray for you. As I dismiss those of you that want that prayer, those of you who want to give your life to Jesus, or you want to come back, where you should be. I want you to meet me over here as they start the next service. You're going to start right away. You're going to start singing, okay? And then we'll walk together to room 102. And the altar workers, you could, if anybody follow you up here, you can walk behind them. And matter of fact, why don't you come up with them, altar workers, okay? You need a point of contact. You're saying, well, why do I have to go up there? You know why? If you don't start a race right, sometimes you count yourself off and you get tired before you finish. I dismiss you today in Jesus' name, and I bless you. Enjoy Sunday school. But if you want to make a decision today, a fresh decision, I want you to come up here, okay? And we're going to pray with you. Quickly, come on. We can't do this alone. We need each other. We are our brother's keepers. Come on, ladies, men. Just come on up here. We'll pray with you. Right over here, to my right.